This is Continuous Coverage.
Continuous Coverage.
Continuous Coverage.
In the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill from the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Hidden Killers Podcast.
We're up to segment number four in our coverage of the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill. Let's head to the courtroom.
All right. Upon conferring with counsel in a sidebar, the defense does intend to introduce some exhibits, which may take some time. However, they're going to make a further review of that, see where they agree or disagree with the state. We may probably hear motion on that in the morning, potentially outside of the presence of the jury, to determine where that stands. In order to allow the parties to get prepared for that, I am going to find that we'll conclude for this afternoon for the day's proceedings, and so we'll just plan on starting again tomorrow. I'll also indicate tomorrow there's another hearing the court has to take up later in the afternoon, so we'll be stopping a little bit early tomorrow, probably around 3:10, no later than 3:15 for our end time tomorrow. So that will conclude the testimony for today. The cross-examination of this witness will commence in the morning before we break for the day. I will give the jurors the daily admonishment to please continue to follow the court's instruction to not discuss this case amongst yourselves or with anyone else. Please don't look the case up, read about it in any way. If you see it being reported in the media, please don't watch the reports, and continue to do your duty to remain impartial in this case so you can reach a verdict only on the evidence that you've seen here in court. With that in mind, we appreciate your continued service, and we will recess for the day.
All right, please.
But it's possible.
All right, please be seated. All right, the first matter I'll just take up is as it relates to exhibits that were just admitted. Idaho's got an administrative rule, Rule 71, which allows if the parties stipulate to have either dangerous or large or bulky exhibits represented by photograph. There's been a photograph admitted into evidence of the gun, which the gun itself is Exhibit 280, and those corresponding baffles, 278 and 279. I've suggested that upon looking at that rule that perhaps the parties want to agree that for purposes of the record of the case that those items would still be kept in custody of the state. However, for purposes of the record of the case, could be represented by photographs. So I wanted to ask, that needs to be done by stipulation of the party pursuant to the rule. Would the state stipulate to have exhibits 278, 279, and 280 represented by photograph in lieu of the actual physical exhibits for the post-trial issues?
That would be actually the request of the state, Your Honor, so we would stipulate.
All right, thank you. Does the defense have any objection, or would the defense stipulate to that?
Your Honor, the defense will stipulate, but I'm wondering if the state would stipulate to not use this particular numbered exhibit as the one they're going to use in the Chad Daybill case so that we don't, for the appellate record, they're looking at, you know, the photograph of whatever number this is. And confuse it with the Chad Daybill one that's probably going to be used.
And, Your Honor, we may use the same exhibit, but we would not have an objection to making sure that it is numbered differently so there is no confusion.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll stipulate.
Thank you, Mr. Thomason. We'll keep the record clear, and it would be remarked in that trial with a separate number. And we can also make an additional record in that case if it's used as an exhibit. The other matter that was to be brought up outside of the presence of the jury was a request pertaining to one or more witnesses that I believe Mr. Archibald indicated believes there may have been some violation of the court's exclusionary rule and order in this case. If you'd like to argue that at this time, Mr. Archibald, I'll hear your argument. I'll hear from the state and then take the matter under advisement during the break.
And, Your Honor, our request would be that we take these separately. I think there's different potential arguments from the defense for each witness. So I think if we could take them up separately, and the first one regarding our next witness, Ian Pawlowski.
Okay. Mr. Archibald, then, if you'd like to start with, the state intends to call Ian Pawlowski next. What's the issue you've got with that?
Your Honor, we received information that Melanie Pawlowski or Melanie Bedreau, who's married to Ian Pawlowski, that Melanie listened to testimony, that she read articles, all in contradiction to the exclusionary rule, that Melanie and Ian are married and came here to Boise, Idaho together. They have attorneys with them. And so we believe that Ian Pawlowski has violated the rule just because we believe he's talked to his wife. His wife, Melanie, has admitted that she's violated the exclusionary rule. So with both of the witnesses, both Ian Pawlowski and Melanie Pawlowski, would ask that the court conduct an inquiry, and if violated the rule, that they be excluded.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Archibald. Any response to the argument?
Thank you, Your Honor. The state is aware of the information provided to defense. It was actually provided by the state based on information that came into our possession. However, there is absolutely no indication that this particular witness, Ian Pawlowski, has reviewed or observed or listened to any of the testimony in this case. So to simply assume that his wife may have told him about anything she learned or observed or knew is a stretch. And so given, based on what the state has been told by Mr. Pawlowski, we do not see that there would be any issue with the exclusionary rule and would ask that he be allowed to testify.
Okay, counsel, what I'll do is take the issue under advisement pending an inquiry after Mr. Pawlowski's been placed under oath. I'll have him brought in to be questioned outside the presence of the jury at the end of the break here before the jurors are brought back in. So if we need to go into an in-depth line of questioning with him, we can do that without the jurors overhearing. Is there an issue with any other witness, Mr. Archibald?
Those are the issues with those two witnesses. Given that, looking at the clock, doesn't look like we'll get to Melanie Pawlowski, but if they call Ian first, then we can do the inquiry with him.
All right. Does the state intend to call Melanie?
Your Honor, the state may intend to call her, but we would ask to take that up separate, given the separate issues involved and before her testimony.
Okay, so right now then we'll just deal with the Ian Pawlowski issue. We'll take that up at the end of the break. I gave, I think, about 30 minutes, so why don't we come back in at about 20 till, if you can have Mr. Pawlowski here ready to be sworn, and we'll start that inquiry before the jurors are brought back in and start that up here in a little over 20 minutes. So we'll be in recess until then.
All rise.
About 1 minute.
Thank you. Please be seated. We are back on the record on KCR 22-21-1624, State of Idaho versus Lori Noreen Vallow. We are during the afternoon break. The jurors have not returned to the courtroom yet. We had a motion relating to the court's exclusionary order in this case, argued by the parties before or at the beginning of the break, and the court indicated it would inquire directly of the witness and allow any additional argument before the jurors are brought in. So is the state ready to call Mr. Pawlowski?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. If you can have your witness brought in, we'll have him sworn.
Your Honor, I should also note for the record, he has counsel here with him. It is Garrett Smith out of Arizona. It's my understanding that Mr. Smith was going to be here to observe and available if necessary, recognizing, though, that he is not here specifically as an Idaho licensed attorney to interject at any point in the proceedings.
All right. He's permitted to be here, and we'll have a seat assigned to him once he enters with his client.
You solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes.
All right, Mr. Pawlowski, you've been sworn. The court has entered in this case what's called an exclusionary order relating to a rule that does not allow witnesses to view or listen to other witnesses' testimony in the trial before they testify. There's been some concern that there may be an issue in regards to that order. The concern was brought forth by, well, information was provided by the state, and the defense has made an argument. So I'll have a question or two of my own for you, and then you may also be examined first by the attorneys as we sort through that issue prior to your providing testimony in front of the jurors. So there's some indication that I guess your would you just indicate on the record who your wife is?
Melanie Pawlowski.
Okay. And the information we had was that she had listened in or perhaps observed some trial testimony. Is that something you're aware of?
To my knowledge, she hasn't listened to anything. There was a point where her ex-husband, Brandon Boudreaux, testified. And there's some ongoing litigation between Melanie and Brandon. And so there was some information that she read, I don't know if it was headlines, that she had concerns about. I didn't really get any details. There didn't seem to be anything of substance there for her. So all I knew is that he testified.
Okay. Have you personally listened to any of the testimony that's occurred in this trial?
No.
Have you read any of it anywhere on any news report, anywhere online?
I've seen headlines, you know, as I've scrolled through my news feeds, but I haven't read anything.
Listen to any kind of audio feed of any of the proceedings?
No.
All right, that concludes my line of questioning. Mr. Archibald, you raised the objection at this point. If you'd like to question the witness before he testifies, you can do so.
Mr. Pawlowski, you're married to the formerly known as Melanie Boudreaux.
Yes.
And how long have you two been married?
Just about 4 years, 3.5 years now.
Were you in the same meeting where your wife met with FBI agent Doug Hart and prosecutor Lindsey Blake?
No, we were separate during those times.
And you came from, where do you live now?
Arizona, Mesa.
And you came here with Melanie how long ago?
We arrived on Monday.
And Mr. Pawlowski, if you could just forward
yes,
to the
I'm
microphone,
sorry.
Please.
We arrived Monday.
So you've been, this is your third day in Idaho?
Yes.
And have you and Melanie talked about this case?
Yes.
And Melanie made a statement to the prosecutor and the officer, the nail is already in Lori's coffin.
Objection, Your Honor. This is hearsay. For this witness, he already indicated he was not in the room or present for any conversation.
So my question is, did you hear her say that?
No.
Is that what she said to you?
No.
Has she ever said anything like that to you?
No.
Have you said anything like that to her?
No.
Now, you brought an attorney with you, right?
Yes.
And why is that?
This is just a complicated matter, and I just feel better navigating it with an attorney present.
Are you aware that your attorney was also here with another witness?
Yes.
And did you talk to your attorney about what the other witness said?
No.
You understand that an attorney is legally and ethically obligated to tell his client everything.
Your Honor, I'm going to object here. I think that's a mischaracterization, and I think this is going well beyond the exclusionary issue that we're supposed to be dealing with.
On the first grounds there, I'll sustain that.
So you're claiming that your attorney, who was also here with another witness, did not tell you anything about what the other witness
objection
said?
Objection asked and answered.
Hasn't been answered, but go ahead. You can answer that.
Sorry, could you restate that?
You're claiming that your attorney has not told you one thing about Zulema Pastina's testimony here.
Correct.
Did you ask?
No.
He didn't tell you?
No.
Now, you worked with FBI to record people who did not know they were being recorded, right?
Objection, Your Honor. This is getting way beyond the exclusionary.
That's sustained. The only issue at this point, Mr. Archibald, narrowed in the scope of whether or not he has been exposed to any of the trial testimony for the exclusionary order.
So, Mr. Pulaski, you're claiming that you don't know anything about this case because you haven't listened to anything since it started 5 weeks ago.
Correct.
Did you talk to Agent Doug Hart?
Yes.
Did you talk to Prosecutor Lindsey Blake?
Yes.
Did they tell you what had happened in court?
No.
Did you ask?
No.
What did you and Doug Hart and Lindsey Blake talk about?
We discussed just the testimony that I'm going to be giving.
Okay. And so you rehearsed your testimony with them?
Correct.
I don't have anything else.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Archibald. Any questions from the state?
Your Honor, if we can have just one moment, please.
Yes.
Mr. Pulaski, just to be clear, have you observed, either through reading any articles or recaps of testimony or listening to it, any testimony that has occurred in this trial?
Not at all.
When you met with myself and Agent Hart, did we discuss anyone else's testimony?
No.
Did we discuss the contents of anyone else's testimony with you?
No.
Did we simply go over questions that we would be asking and your potential answers?
Yes.
I have nothing further, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Blake. Upon that inquiry, the court's reviewed the rule that's been issued in this case, as well as the case of State versus Danson, 113 Idaho 746, that talks about the purpose of the exclusionary rule and indicates it's within a trial court's discretion to determine whether it's been violated or what sanctions should be imposed if it has. The court having found no evidence based on the testimony of the witness that there has been any violation of the exclusionary rule will overrule the defendant's objection, and the witness may be permitted to testify before the jury. So that'll be the court's ruling on that issue. This time then we'll go ahead and allow the jurors to be brought in.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bailiff. Please be seated. Okay, we're on the record. CR 2221-1624, State of Idaho versus Lori Noreen Vallow. The witness on the stand at this time has previously been sworn. Before we begin with his testimony before the jury, let me just indicate, Mr. Pawlowski, if you'd kind of make sure to sit forward and talk directly into that microphone, it'll help keep the record clear. Also, please answer verbally any questions asked and try not to talk at the same time as anyone questioning you so we keep a clear record. With that, the state can commence with the direct examination.
Thank you, Your Honor. Would you please state your name and spell your last name for the record?
Yes, Ian Pawlowski, P-A-W-L-O-W-S-K-I.
Do you know Lori Vallow or Lori Daybell?
Yes.
How do you know her?
We met briefly right after I began dating my wife, Melanie Pawlowski.
And do you know how Melanie is related to Lori?
Melanie is her niece.
Do you know approximately, do you recall approximately the first time you met Lori Vallow?
I want to say it was between November 20th and November 25th. It was right before we went down for Thanksgiving of 2019.
And when you say when we went down for Thanksgiving, who is the we you're referencing?
So I traveled down and then Melanie came and met me later.
And that would be Melanie that is now your wife?
Correct.
So Lori did not travel down there?
No.
And when you say down there, where were you going?
Arizona.
When you met Lori, was that a face-to-face visit?
First time, yes.
Do you recall approximately, or actually let me back up, do you know an individual named Chad Daybell?
Yes.
And do you know who he is?
He is married to Lori.
Do you recall meeting him?
Yes.
And when was that?
It was the same time I met Lori.
Did you meet him in person?
Yes.
Were they together when you met them?
Yes.
Do you recall where you met them as far as the location?
Yes, and that was at the apartment just next to Melanie's.
When you met them, did you have any substantive discussions the first time?
No.
Did you come to know or learn of the relationship Melanie had with Lori and Chad?
Yes.
And what kind of relationship was that?
It was a very close, supportive relationship.
Was it so close that, in fact, you went to Lori and Chad first before asking Melanie to marry you?
Yes.
Do you recall approximately how many times you either saw in person or spoke with Lori?
It was less than a dozen.
And how about with Chad?
Fewer.
Did you have any conversations with Chad when Lori wasn't present?
Not that I recall.
Did you have some conversations with Lori when Chad was not there?
Yes.
At some point in those conversations, did Lori talk to you about her purported beliefs?
Yes.
What were some of the beliefs that she talked about?
Your Honor, I'm going to object as to vague.
I will sustain that. It's just a question about beliefs in general.
In talking about beliefs, specifically, did she talk to you about purported religious beliefs?
Yes.
And referencing those religious beliefs, what were some of the things she told you?
She discussed there were beliefs about possession. There were beliefs about locking Satan away. Those are the two that stand out the most.
And with those references, did you ever hear her use the term casting or casting out?
Yes.
And when these conversations took place, were there other people present?
Yes.
At times, did that include Melanie?
Yes.
Was Melanie present for the majority of the conversations?
All of them.
Did you ever hear Chad talk about those same terms?
He was present. I don't specifically recall if he stated anything. Lori typically did most of the talking, but Chad was typically there and acted as a support to what Lori was saying.
Do you recall her ever talking to you about multiple probations or multiple creations?
I don't recall anything specifically about that from her, no.
And you talked about you and Melanie had headed down to Arizona. Was that for Thanksgiving of 2019?
Yes.
At some point, did the two of you return to Rexburg?
Yes.
When you returned to Rexburg, do you recall if Chad and Lori were still there?
They were not.
Do you know where they were?
No.
Had you ever been to the apartment that Lori resided at in Rexburg?
Prior to that, no.
Had you gone to her apartment when you first met her?
Yes.
And Chad was present in the apartment?
Correct.
Do you know if he was residing there with her?
I don't.
Did you see any, when you met her, did you ever see JJ Vallow?
No.
Did you ever see Tylee Ryan?
No.
Did you know of their existence when you first met Lori and Chad?
Yes.
Did Lori ever say anything to you about where they were?
No.
Did you see any indication that there were children living in the apartment?
Yes.
And what indications did you see?
I saw backpacks that looked like they were for children, luggage that looked like, you know, they were designed for kids.
Did you ever look at any bedrooms in that residence?
Yes.
And did you see signs of children there?
No.
And when you had conversations with Chad and Lori, did you ever hear Tylee or JJ in the background?
No.
Was there ever mention of Tylee and JJ in your conversations with Lori?
Not that I recall.
When Lori talked to you about these things, were you open to hearing them?
Yes.
And why was that?
I'm religious. I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and a large part of our belief is faith in revelation, and that the church is a living thing. It's not done progressing. It's not done growing. And so part of that is, you know, you have to maintain an open mind when new things come. So if I was going to learn something new, it would either be through one of the Lord's servants, or I'd receive the revelation directly. So that kind of, and at that point in my life, I was kind of going through a religious renaissance of my own. I was trying to, I had just gone through a rough divorce, and I was trying to rebuild myself. So I was open. Does that answer your question?
Yes, I think so. And about how long did it take for you to determine that you were not open to the ideas being presented by Ms. Vallow?
A few days.
And were there some specific things she was telling you that made it so you were no longer open to what she was talking about?
Yes.
And what were those things?
So one of those things was the possession. The people who she was saying were possessed was one of them. The rankings that were being given, people being determined as light and dark, was alarming. That sounded to me like something that could not change. It was a predetermined thing. Talking about light and dark contracts that were signed before in this life. I know there were a few others, but they don't come to my mind right now.
When you talk about the light and dark, who is it that was telling you about the light and dark ranking system?
So the first time I heard about that, I want to say it was Melanie that explained it to me, as she had heard it from Chad. That was the first time.
At some point, did Lori talk to you about the light and dark system?
It was referred to in conversations, but never directly explained.
And you talked about some of the people they were saying, or excuse me, some of the people Lori was saying were possessed. Do you recall who some of those individuals were?
Law enforcement.
Did you ever hear her use the term zombies?
Yes.
Was that also in reference to some law enforcement?
Yes.
Were there specific officers that she referenced?
Yes.
Who were they, if you can remember?
Detective Hermosillo and I believe Detective Hope, if I recall correctly.
And do you know if they work with the Rexburg Police Department?
They do.
At some point, so you were no longer open to the beliefs or the religious beliefs that she was purporting to have at that point?
Right.
At some point, did something cause you concern?
There were numerous things. The point where it really turned for me was the morning after my marriage to Melanie. Melanie had dumped her fears on me. Just everything that she'd been experiencing, there's just a whirlwind of, there's a mess going on. And she shared everything that she thought and worried about with me. And so the morning following that, we were staying at the Bellagio in Las Vegas, and my two children, Max and Lily, were with me at the time. The next morning I got up and my daughter was gone. We couldn't find her anywhere. She was gone for about 15 minutes. We looked all over the room for her. We were calling for her. Not a sound. She was nowhere. And then finally I hear some giggling from behind a curtain, and I can see her feet underneath, and she comes out. She thought it was the funniest thing in the world. But for me, after hearing everything that I had the night before, that was terrifying. And at that point I decided I'm not going to give this a chance. I'm not going to mess with it. Something needs to happen.
And were some of the things you heard regarding Tylee Ryan and J.J. Vallow?
Yes.
Did you have concerns for their safety or their well-being after what you learned?
Yes.
Did some of the things deal with an attempted shooting of Brandon Boudreaux?
Yes.
Did you have concerns about you and or your ex-wife's safety based on some of that information?
Yes.
And because of that, did you end up going to law enforcement?
Yes.
Do you recall approximately when you met with law enforcement?
I want to say it was December 5th or 6th that I met with them.
And that would have been of 2019?
Correct.
And when did you say, and I may not have asked you, but when did you get married to Melanie?
It was November 30th, 2019.
So less than a week later, you were at law enforcement?
Correct.
Did law enforcement end up asking for your assistance?
Yes.
And what did they ask for your assistance with?
They asked me to just listen and observe and report back, and they also asked me to make recordings for them.
And did they instruct you to make sure that you were present and party to any conversations you were recording?
Yes.
Did you in fact do that?
Yes.
Did you produce the recordings to the police department?
Yes.
In those recordings, did Chad ever confess directly to a crime?
No.
Did Lori ever confess directly to any crime?
No.
Do some of those recordings contain some of the information you've provided here today regarding the religious beliefs Lori purported to have? Did Lori or Chad ever instruct you regarding whether or not to cooperate with law enforcement?
Yes.
And what were you instructed?
To cooperate as little as possible to avoid them. There was just kind of this arrogant, flippant attitude toward law enforcement. That, you know, that it was just none of their business, and we needed to get out of town was another thing that they instructed us to do.
And did those instructions come from both Chad and Lori?
It was mostly Chad pushing us to get out of town. Both Chad had a more serious tone. Lori was kind of presented this lighthearted attitude toward cooperating with law enforcement, just to kind of avoid it.
And was part of that telling you that some of the law enforcement officers were dark spirits or zombies?
Yes.
Just one moment. And you indicated that your wife, Melanie, was present for these conversations as well?
Correct.
And would it be fair to say that Melanie looked to Chad and Lori as a mother and father figure?
Yes.
Do you believe that she was susceptible to what they were telling her?
Yes.
Did she at times indicate to you, or did you believe that she shared some of, or was open to these religious beliefs that they were purporting to have?
She was open to them. The way she presented them to me is, hey, this is what they're saying. What do you think?
And would you say out of the two of them, Melanie was closer to either Lori or Chad?
Absolutely closer to Lori.
I have no further questions.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Blake. Let's see who will be doing cross.
Your Honor, I'll be doing the cross, but given the fact that the state has referenced some wire or recordings, we were planning on hearing those, and we're not going to be prepared to offer those up. That's going to be a big part of my cross-examination, so I'm just wondering if the court's willing to break a few minutes early today so that we can get that onto a drive so that he can testify as to that.
And, Your Honor, can we have a brief sidebar?
Yes. All right. Upon conferring with counsel in a sidebar, the defense does intend to introduce some exhibits, which may take some time. However, they're going to make a further review of that, see where they agree or disagree with the state. We may probably hear a motion on that in the morning, potentially outside of the presence of the jury, to determine where that stands. In order to allow the parties to get prepared for that, I am going to find that we'll conclude for this afternoon for the day's proceedings, and so we'll just plan on starting again tomorrow. I'll also indicate tomorrow there's another hearing the court has to take up later in the afternoon, so we'll be stopping a little bit early tomorrow, probably around 3:10, no later than 3:15 for our end time tomorrow. So that will conclude the testimony for today. The cross-examination of this witness will commence in the morning before we break for the day. I will give the jurors the daily admonishment to please continue to follow the court's instruction to not discuss this case amongst yourselves or with anyone else. Please don't look the case up, read about it in any way. If you see it being reported in the media, please don't watch the reports, and continue to do your duty to remain impartial in this case so you can reach a verdict only on the evidence that you've seen here in court. With that in mind, we appreciate your continued service, and we will recess for the day.
That wraps up segment number 4 in our coverage today, the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any of our coverage, courtroom action, interviews, and discussions on the case. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
This is continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
In the trial of Lori Vallow-Daybill from the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Hidden Killers Podcast.